Omaginatiminandasya Dina Dina Salakaya Chaksu Samilatam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandatika. Well, here's the time that it's the time to return all your issues and problems.
No. No need.
Does anyone here want? Okay, well, if anyone thinks that there's something too private in there. If you would come up right after and let me know, and in that way, if there's a few devotees who think like that way, then we won't be able to give them. But if you don't mind, if some of the, because we did say it was private, it would be private, and if some of the devotees, if a few devotees think that they'd actually prefer that these not be given to this Mataji for her data book, then if there's a few devotees who would prefer that, then we won't distribute them or keep them. Is that fine? Do you think that's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's clear that we don't want them back ourselves. But the strange thing that I've seen is that the mind, my mind, our minds, is so attached to problems and issues that it dwells on them again and again and again and again and again. In the Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the 7th chapter, Krishna says, Ichadvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata. I don't want this, and oh, I want this, not on the spiritual level. This is the illusion, the mind's attachment to the good and bad of this world is the illusion that binds us to this world. And what we really want is to become attached to Krishna. We want to become attached to Krishna, to awaken our relationship with Krishna, to become attached to Krishna, to enter our relationship with Krishna, to join His Leela. If we become attached to Krishna, somehow or another, if we become attached to Krishna, it is like the sun arising, dispelling all the darkness born of the modes of material nature. So then, of course, the question is how to become attached to Krishna. That is the great question. How can I develop my attachment to Krishna? Because solving that quest problem causes all other problems to dissolve. Kapila Muni explains this point in the 3rd canto of the Bhagavatam that Krishna consciousness dissolves the subtle body, which is the storehouse of all our material desires, all our material difficulties. It's all in the subtle body, which has nothing to do with the soul, which has nothing to do with me. But yet, the soul, me, I, follow the subtle body. Follows behind the subtle body, wherever it is going. So that attachment to the physical and mental platform as the source of our pleasure and to push it away, the ichha and the dvesha, and to push that away, to break that attachment and to become attached to Krishna. This is really the mission of our life. And chanting Krishna's names, hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names, becoming attached to Krishna's wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan, to taking part in Krishna's service, to depend on Krishna, to remember Krishna, to pray to Krishna. Brother Lila Mataji said that due to her pain, which no one wants pain, but due to her pain, Krishna taking everything else away from her at that time and gave her pain in a difficult circumstance, and somehow or another Krishna came through that path. So let us all pray. That sounds like the end of a sermon. Now let us pray that for each other, and that we all have our fate, we have all our karma, we have our life to live. We're all individuals. We have our different lives to live. And let us pray that there's actually a verse at the end of the 26th chapter. Does anyone have a 10th canto with the 26th chapter with them? Oh. But at the end of that, who knows what the 24th chapter of the 10th canto is? Does anyone know? I know. It's when Krishna and the Brijbasis worship Govardhan Hill. It's such a wonderful chapter. Yes. 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 The last verse in the 27th chapter, where after the Brijbasis worship Govardhan Hill and they circumambulate Giriraj, and they're so happy doing that. And everyone, wherever Krishna goes, everyone is just simply their consciousness, their minds go to him. And everyone is talking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, and worshipping the cows, and Krishna is so pleased by that. Everyone is pleased but Indradev, who was so upset. And of course we know what happens. He pours down torrents of rain, and Krishna saves all the Brijbasis, and out of the most difficult circumstance, by Krishna lifting Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, all the Brijbasis and all the cows take up their residence beneath the shelter of the umbrella of Giriraj Govardhan. And they simply look at Krishna, tasting the sweetness of the vision of Krishna, of his beauty. They don't have any hunger. They don't have any thirst. And sometimes Krishna, he's holding up the hill with his left hand and he's playing the flute with his right hand. And the Brijbasis say, "Don't do that, Krishna. Don't play the flute because the mountain will melt in ecstasy. And then what will happen to us?" So after some time, first Krishna sends the cows out. After the rains have stopped and all the cows, Krishna, because Krishna being a cowherd boy, he knows the art. And if in Braja sometimes you can hear this, the cowherd boys, they can make sounds, different sounds with their tongues that I can't even begin to imitate. But the cows can understand what it means. There's so many different commands. That's one. There's so many. That's the same one. And the cows understand them, and they move into the Yamuna, and they come out of the Yamuna. So Krishna sent them out of Giriraj, from beneath Giriraj, so that he could put the hill down. And then when the cows got out, they looked back and saw that Krishna was still standing there. So they ran back under the hill. But then Krishna sent them out again. And then all the Brijbasis went out. And then Krishna put down Giriraj in exactly the same position that they that it was before. Now, the next day, the cowherd men, during that time when the hill was being lifted, everyone was just staring at Krishna and talking about Krishna. But after the hill was placed down, the cowherd men, they began to talk about each other, amongst themselves, and saying, "This boy, how did he possibly do that?" Because after all, this little boy was holding up a hill with the little finger of his left hand. And they almost didn't notice it. They were so absorbed. But when he put down the hill, they asked, "How did he do that?" And they asked Nandamaraj, "We want to ask you about your boy. How is it that he's so wonderful and so attractive?" And Nandamaraj then said, "All I can say is recite what Gargacharja had told me at the time of the Namakaran, the name-giving ceremony." And then he recited almost word for word what Gargamuni had told him. That Anena Sarva Durgani Anjanyunjas Tarishyata, that if you take shelter of this boy, anyone who takes shelter of this boy, all the obstacles of their life will be overcome. And Tasmad Nandatmajo Yam Te Narayana Samo Gunai, that he has all the qualities of Lord Narayan. So after saying that to Nandamaraj, he ends. Nandamaraj, or it's not clear actually who says this prayer. No? The 26th chapter, maybe. Somehow it's okay, I must have touched it. But it's such a nice verse. Well, it keeps going back to the 27th chapter, verse 4. As we all wait with great expectancy to hear the words of Nandamaraj. It's a long verse. Indra had become angry when his sacrifice was disrupted. And thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokul, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherds, animals, and women there. When Lord Krishna, who was by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had only him as their shelter, when Krishna, who was always compassionate, saw the condition of they who had only him as their shelter, he smiled broadly and he lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand effortlessly to protect the devotees, just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with. Holding up the hill, he protected the cowherd community. May he, Govinda, the Lord of the cows and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So for me, this is a sad moment. Having entered deeply into the association of sincere and ardent devotees, and having chanted and heard with them in the most holy land of Varshana. It is not a very happy occasion. It's not a very happy prospect to think of leaving them all. There's so much shelter in that association. One reason we hesitate to surrender is that we are afraid that if we surrender, something bad will happen. We feel that we have to be vigilant to protect ourselves. But in the right association, in the right place, in the right situation, we want to surrender to that group process, that world, that realm, and let go of our vain attempts to protect ourselves and our false pretenses of who we are, and just surrender. And in that environment, take shelter of the holy name. Different devotees have mentioned different meanings of the Maha Mantra that Srila Prabhupada gave. One meaning he gave was, "My dear friend, my dear friend, my dear friend." When we chant when by Krishna's grace we're able to chant with some feeling, we realize that we have turned away from Krishna. And while chanting, we're praying to him to forgive us for having turned away from him. And we're praying to him to accept us back. And that is a real friend. If you may go away, but he's always there for you when you turn back toward him. And you want to chant more and more and more. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when one goes deep into one's chanting or one's spiritual practices, one will feel compassion for others. Even though we have not gone as far as we could, but even what little experience we've had is enough to convince us that this is the essence of life. This is the essence of life. And anything else is just a frivolous, illusory, frustrating attempt at finding safety, security, and happiness elsewhere. And that much is enough to impel one to speak to others about about the purpose of life, the mission of life, the goal of life, and the means to attain it. And in that process, we are also rendering service to the Holy Name. We're pleasing our previous acharyas, by whose grace we are here. Didati pratigrinati, in discussing this verse of the exchanges of love shared between devotees, Srila Prabhupada said that the gift of the Holy Name is the most sublime example of the Dadati principle. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, some Vaishnav has given us that gift. But we have to take it deeply. And that is how we show our appreciation for they who gave it to us and for the gift itself. So it is a great challenge. It's a great challenge to maintain this mood outside of, as we've heard again and again, we're in the perfect situation. In the perfect situation, so we should take full advantage. But what happens when we leave the perfect situation? Well, it's hard. I can say from my own experience, it is hard. And we may not have that association that supports our intention, or not to the extent we had it here. But somehow we have to try to bring others into that mood, even if not for their sake, for our sake, because we need their support. We can't do it alone. And as Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master told him, that if you do that, if you speak the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you've heard it from me, that will do good for you and for those who hear you. Prabhupada often quoted the verse, Dante Nidaya Trinakam Padayor Dipatya, how we preach, taking the straw in our teeth and flattering 100 times, oh, you are so learned, you are so intelligent, you're so influential, and then the person will be eager, yes, yes, you are very perceptive, you have understood my greatness, what do you want to say? And then Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kruta Anuraga, just forget whatever nonsense you have learned and surrender to Lord Chaitanya. So in that way we speak to people around us, even people who are near and dear to us, and we actually have to speak in the same way to our own minds. Our own minds are not necessarily the association we want. So we have to appeal to our minds in the same way to cooperate with us in this endeavor. As far as how to take the retreat home, it's hard. My first thought was, well, I'll take Burijan Prabhu home and I'll take Sachinandan Swami home. Burijan Prabhu's agreed. Sachinandan Swami's a little elusive. But, and then all of you, that would make it complete. So I do pray to all of you to keep me in your thoughts and prayers when you're chanting. Certainly prayers are very powerful. Very powerful. And whatever little drop of mercy we've received, let it animate us and invigorate us for the tasks that lie ahead. At the beginning I said I was sad. I'm also a little apprehensive. But I know from experience that when we go into the field, if we keep this consciousness with us, we can actually serve the holy name by encouraging others to come to the holy name, to the chanting of the holy name, to go deeper in their relationship with the holy name. And I'm sure that we will meet again. Maybe we'll meet again here next year. Hare Krishna. One, yes.
No. You have invited us.
But just give me a few days' notice so we can prepare properly.
Hare Krishna. We will all go now or from Vasana, and more or less we will have certain goals in our minds. Some of us will go to Sydney, others will go to New York, others will go to Berlin and London. We have an inner orientation in our minds, something which informs our next steps. I do not know your inner orientation. I know that one thing is easy to recognize. You want to take your feast prasadam, and then something inside. It's not is you want to catch your bus to Vrindavan because you know there are no taxis in Vasana easily available. And there are other inner orientations, inner desires, which will bring you to the next stations in your life. I know some of you will fly to Persia because that is there as an inner orientation, something which I cannot see very clearly, which no one can see very clearly, but which will inform your next movements. For me personally, in my own relationship to chanting the holy name, in specific and in general, for my own life, this inner orientation has become the most important thing. Nowadays, when I look at my life, I want to see what is the plan here, what is the inner landmark, because I know that will bring me to my new situation. I have personally stopped to see people in regards to what they presently are. I have also stopped to analyze myself in regards to what I'm presently am. But I have started to try to find out what is the inner orientation, the goal, the ideal, the prospect, you could say, the inner orientation of a person, because it is this inner orientation which will turn a hater into a lover and a lover into a hater. It's this inner orientation which will turn a conditioned soul into a happy, free, dancing child of eternity, or this inner orientation which will turn a devotee into a criminal. It is the inner orientation which is more important, because it is, so to say, the land map of a person's life. It's where he will go. Now, in the practice of chanting Hare Krishna, this inner orientation is most probably the most important thing. You know, if some of you have the inner orientation, oh my God, this Japa retreat, you know, I said all the nice things in public, but I really counted the day. When is it over? When is the last day? When can I again read the newspapers and, you know, and do what I want? And you will see that inner orientation will carry that person. Whereas someone here might think, oh, I really got some impetus here. I could see what is possible. My goal is really to make my life in such a way that I can, when I leave from here, repeat the experience at home. This inner, you know, anyone can show for some time any picture to the outside world, but it is ultimately the inner orientation which will decide what his next steps will be. So, in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I have discovered that this inner orientation, or as we say in ISKCON, their right mood, you know, will decide what is the success or failure of a devotee in his life. I remember when I was a young man and I visited Srila Prabhupada in his room in Paris. I opened the door of his room and there was no one in the room. And I turned around to his servant, went a flight of stairs downstairs, and said, "You told me Prabhupada is there, and I could give him his present, but the room is empty." He said, "It can't be empty. He must be up there." So I again went, it was a little flight of stairs, only this broad. I went up again into the room and again looked in the room, and the room was empty. Coming from a family of warlords, I went to the floor and thought, maybe he's hiding under the bed for some reason. But he was not there. Again, and this time with a protestful mind, I said, "I think you don't want me to meet Prabhupada. The room is empty. There is no one there." Now, he got angry at me and said, "Baba, get up and look You have tomatoes on your eyes. I still remember this interesting definition of blindness. And so I went up again. And this time I found Prabhupada. He was in the shade of the door. Let me say, this is the room where you are. Here's the door. And the shade of the door is this part. So I'm coming in here. And I'm looking in the room and no one is there. So this time, I went a little bit. Then went in the room, turned around, and I saw him hiding behind the door. It's called the shade of the door. And he sat there in his rocking chair, and you should have seen him. He was chanting, so absorbed. And in my own eyes, I could see something like a halo around him, light. And he was so absorbed and so with Krishna as he chanted that I just stood there and even I could understand this is not a moment to disturb. So I sneaked out of the room, waited for half an hour, and then asked the servant, can you go first? I found him and I don't want to disturb, you know. So then eventually I got to give my present. Prabhupada was sitting there. He was chanting and there was light, the light which is there when Krishna enters the heart around him, and a very good tears were also there. His inner orientation. I always asked, what is his inner orientation? What is he thinking? How is he directed? What is motivating him? You know, and later I found something in Prabhupada's own words about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which describes a little bit that inner orientation, which makes you into a devotee if you have it. Prabhupada said, it's a morning walk, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is a sannyasi. He has no more necessity. But why is he crying for Govinda? He has given up the whole world, became a sannyasi, and now why is he crying for Govinda? That is real necessity. Govinda vidahenami. Govinda necessity. The necessity is Govinda. And he is never alone. There is again life, again Vrindavan, again the gopis, again dancing, again eating, again everything. That is the real necessity. My dear devotees, this is an inner orientation which will carry you back to Godhead. You need to understand what is your need, what you need, what is necessary for you. What is your necessity? This is very important. When you have this understanding of what is your need, your real need, which informs and cures all the other little desires which we have, then you have the right inner orientation. Then you have the wings which make you fly in the sky of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you're a bird with tomatoes in the eyes and a rock on your foot. This need is important to understand. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote once a poem about inner orientation, which is just so absolutely poetic and absolutely nice that I want to recite it to you. But because it's so poetic, and I'm only mediocre poetic, I have put it aside in easy thought bites. The yogi of my mind is the poem. It's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes his mind to be one of these yogis who beg for their subsistence. And he says, "This my mind is like a beggar. It wants it wants Krishna so much." And he describes this mental attitude. The yogi of my mind wears a quilt. Quilt means blanket of anxiety. His only words are, "Alas, Krishna. Alas, Krishna. Alas, Krishna. Alas, Krishna." You know, he's, in Serbian language you say, "Oh, vaya." In German you say, "Oh, weh." In English you say, "Alas." In Bengali you say, "Ha, Krishna. Where is Krishna?" This is the only words, and they are muttered, they are stumbled with great anxiety. On his head, the yogi of my mind has a turban of greed, of eagerness. He wants, "Oh, I need, I need, I need." He has bangles of distress around, and he always studies the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. Long ago, the yogi of my mind has left the comfortable home of the body, taking his 10 disciples, the 10 senses, with him. He left the treasure of material enjoyment. Now he goes begging with all of his disciples for the remnants of Krishna's qualities, for his beauty, the sweetness, the aroma. He wants the flute sound of Krishna, the touch of Krishna's body. And he goes to the homes of those who have these treasures, who have Krishna, the gopis. The mystic yogi of my mind, who has left already the body and the treasure of material enjoyment, is on his way. He's on his way. He begs Krishna from those who have him. So I think this inner orientation, this desire for the not yet achieved Krishna, or let me say it in a different word, this waking up to our real necessity, that is a treasure which you should take home with you for your japa and kirtan retreat number 2. You have heard properly. Bhurijan Prabhu has already announced this, that I would say it, because I say it every year. This was your japa and kirtan retreat part 1. It's not yet over. It has 2 parts. It has 3 parts, 4 parts. It has life parts. You should go home and start your favorable japa and kirtan practice at home. You should not go back to your old habits. Let the yogi of your own mind, or let me say it in a different way, your inner orientation be, "I want Krishna of Vrindavan. This is the real treasure. This is again life. This is again dancing, again eating, again everything. So, another thing I wanted to say at the end. Obviously, the problem which we all have is a lack of taste, or let us say, a misplaced taste. That's our only problem, our only issue. We like things, other things more than we like Krishna, and we are already cursing ourselves for our material attachments like a drunkard who curses himself that he drinks alcohol, but who can't stop, who again and again puts the glass of wine to his thirsty lips. Krishna, this is our problem. We know it's not good, material attachment, but we daily drink from the cup of material attachment. It's a schizophrenic situation, or it's a situation of being in two minds. And unfortunately, yes, this is our situation. We are conditioned souls in whom some proper taste has been born. We are divided souls as we are sitting here. But you know what? A very great secret. Your taste can come if you sing Krishna's holy names according to the good melody which you like. And you can purchase a pair of kartals in Vrindavan, and you can sing, and you can sing even if you have a frog-like voice like me. No problem. Absolutely no problem. Because if you start your own kirtan process, your own kirtan, if you start to sing, not just japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. No, singing kirtan. Mahaprabhu is the Lord of Sankirtana, not the Lord of japa. Japa is necessary, but the strength, the power is in Sankirtana in the age of Kali. So this will bring you ecstasy. And this is quoted in the most important verse in the Bhagavatam. There it says, by singing the names of the Lord that are dear to him, he or she develops deep love for the Lord, anuraga. Only in this way does the heart melt. Only in this way various different emotions come, which are exhibited externally in the form of laughter, tears, and so on. Bring to your japa kirtan. Sing, sing. Then very quickly, this problem of inner orientation or lack of taste or displaced taste will go. Sing. Shamelessly sing. Shamelessly means because you may not sing like Michael Jackson or Lady Madonna or whatever is her name, you know, no need. This is not good singing. It's just sometimes without feelings, this singing of the modern people. Sing and you will feel some deep love for Krishna. Mark my words. Don't say, oh, another one of these eccentric suggestions, I should take a pair of cartels. Never. No. Try. When you are alone and you're not self-conscious as you sing, but you are Krishna-conscious as you sing, you will see some development of devotional feelings and your taste will come about. God, I wish you a wonderful Japa Kirtan retreat part 2. I will now step out of my role as a provocating speaker and come to my normal self. I hope it's the normal self. I'm very impressed by your work. I have really seen on the first, when Burijan Prabhu and Giriraj Maharaj and myself entered for the first time, the first morning here, and saw you all and heard you all chanting, we said, wow, this is a good group. We said like this. We have seen many groups. You have shown your dedication, which is even louder than your cough symphony. It is very good, very easily perceivable, your good first-class dedication. And I really think you are very close now. You have chanted in the land of Radha. We had wonderful circumstances, like yesterday, you know, that in Gevavan forest, in the midst of Vrindavan forest, to sing with devotees. I've never done this before. I've never done this. This is my first time. It is very ecstatic. And you were all there, and you were all fully present. Wonderful. You are only a meter away from perfection. Now, you know, yes, correct. A meter away from perfection. Now, you might have to struggle a little bit on this meter. It's not an easy meter. And therefore, go to your inner orientation. That will be your best friend. Speak with devotees. Hone your inner orientation. You all have it. You might be like a raw diamond, and it doesn't show maybe always, but when you rub it a little bit by the repeated chanting, repeat it again and again, means again and again, don't give up, then the light of your inner orientation will shine forth and show you the way of proper chanting and proper association. It is not impractical. It is not difficult at all. You are very close. Don't worry. Don't worry. Absolutely don't worry. Just do the last meter, you know, and give some intensity to it, and become aware what is your desperate need. So, Hare Krishna.
In the words of Sachinandan Maharaj, thank you very, very, very much. We should also thank our teachers for being so wonderful and sharing their heart with us and giving us so much wonderful direction how to perfect our chanting, which is our means to connect ourselves with Krishna and perfect our life. So, of course, we cannot really, as we know, we can never repay those who help with the mercy of the Lord, who help that mercy to depend, to descend upon us, and who extend themselves to others. But I do have one or two little gifts for them.
Good.
First, I'll ask some to garland them. Braj Mohan Abhinanda. And who else is there? Vishnupuri? Yes. All right. Then I recall upon Ananda Chaitanya Prabhu come and give his gift to, let's see, who is that? Burijan Prabhu. We are giving them something very useful, a bead bag with counting beads, a special VIHC bead bag, and then for Sachinanda Mani. And then we are giving them a book, because usually leaders are readers. So this is a beautiful book, A God Who Dances.
From Nietzsche, this must be Nietzsche's book, yes.
This is a poetic rendering of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Kalakanta Prabhu. So these are our gifts here. This is from Sriji, the perfume. So let us offer our obeisances to the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are full of compassion for all the living entities and can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees. Thank you very much, Giriraj Maharaj, for gracing the Japa retreat this year. And our hearts sparked with ecstasy when you said that you may be here next year. We do hope to. On behalf of the staff of the Vaishnavi retreat, I want to extend a very deep gratitude to all the three of you for engaging us in this wonderful service. Thank you.